Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dawn Ning site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you're experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast.
Good morning. Welcome once again to Live Dharma Sunday. This is your host, Sayo Shempin from Orlando, Florida. And, well, wherever you are, whether you're up north or south, I hope you're either staying warm or staying cool. Seems like a lot of the northern areas are getting hit with snow and cold weather, while here in the south we're getting sort of record highs. Here in Florida, it's got up to about 86 degrees yesterday, which is kind of unusual for this time of year. So, but that is weather, you know, constantly reminding us, you know, you can control certain things in your life, but you can't control all of them. And the last, I believe the last few weeks, we've talked about patience, and I have a quick story to share. It was really, really funny. There was this parade here at the Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. And for years, I've tried to get on the Mardi Gras floats. They have a parade every year to celebrate Mardi Gras. And I've always wanted to be on that float. I for some reason, I've always wanted to throw beads and have fun with the people. And for years, I've tried. You know, tried everything to get on the list, to volunteer, to help out, and nothing happened. Well, it so happened that this year, I finally got chosen to ride on the Mardi Gras float, and I was very excited. After so many years of waiting and thinking, well, maybe this will be the year, I finally got it, and it was great. And we were able to ride on the float last night at Mardi Gras at Universal Studios, and we threw beads, and it was a great time sharing with all the people, and it was quite an event. But it really taught me a lesson about, you know, sometimes we want things so fast, we want to get things right now. And at times we do. We'll get something right away, and okay, well, we got it, you know, so we expected it. Okay, I got what I want. But when we really have to have that patience and keep that motivation, that intention going in our minds that I will receive this, you know, when you finally receive it, you have this sense of gratitude. And so last night at one point on the float, I had to stop just for a moment to see where I was, and I put my hands together in Gassho. And I was so thankful, you know, because I in all that time waiting for it, you know, it finally came and happened, and I was really happy. It gave me a sense of gratitude that, you know, patience pays off. Sometimes when we get things too quickly, we tend to just, okay, well, I got it. Okay, good. But when we have to really work for something, there's this joy, this gratitude that arises from, you know, finally achieving that goal. So patience is it's a gift. You know, I say it as a gift that allows us to develop that gratitude quality, that moment of saying, wow, I finally have it after all this waiting, all this time, you know. And I also reminded myself, you know, never give up hope. You know, may not be here today, may not be here tomorrow, but with that work, with that motivation, that intention, we will receive, you know, the fruits of our patience. So it's very much like our practice, you know, in Buddhism. We're not going to sit one day and overnight, boop, I became Buddha. Sometimes it takes hard work. It takes years of meditating or years of listening to the Dharma and developing that realization. And when it happens, boy, boop, it hits you like lightning, and all you can do is put your hands together and do a gratitude gassho. So, well, today we are joined by Shirlene Soyo Sensei. Shirlene Soyo was part of the LM4 group, or the Lay Ministry 4 class. I had the opportunity of meeting her during her induction, and she has a lot of history with the Chicago Temple, which was founded by one of our spiritual leaders, Reverend Guillaume Kobosi, back in the 40s. So without further ado, Shirlene Soyo Sensei.
Tomorrow's full moon completes the 15-day Chinese New Year celebration, welcoming in the Year of the Snake. Like all animals, snakes are portrayed as both wise and manipulative, good and evil, in myths throughout history. We tend to gravitate towards one side or the other, depending on our own attachments, perspectives, causes, and conditions. Whether we see snakes as scary and manipulative or cute and flexible, we definitely approach snakes cautiously, respectfully. There is much we can learn from embracing snakes just as they are. Like the snake, we should regularly shed old skin that has become restrictive to growth, including ideas or concepts that have turned into dogma, past good or bad deeds, shame, and guilt. It's important to remember that, like some snakes, we can make poison within ourselves in the form of ignorance, greed, or anger. With awareness, we can carry the poisons without being sickened or killed by them, and without striking or harming others with them. Snakes have incredible spines, allowing them to both climb and fall without injury. If we cultivate our inner strength and flexibility, we too can navigate difficult times more smoothly. Snakes smell with their tongues. Our awareness can increase when we learn to use our senses in different ways, like listening with our feet, or tasting with our eyes, or smelling with our tongues. All snakes, with or without poison, can bite when startled, threatened, or hungry. Under certain conditions, we can all be dangerous. We all have the potential to strike out. Respectfully acknowledging our dangerous sides, our fears, keeps them within our awareness, within our ability to direct. Embracing the Year of the Snake, like embracing our whole selves, means accepting the yin and the yang, the beauty and the danger, the power and the responsibility, the oneness within ourselves and in all things. Best wishes to everyone for a happy and healthy Year of the Snake.
Well, thank you very much, Shirlene Soyo Sensei. Yeah, definitely the snake is one of those creatures that sort of gets a bum rap, you know. It's, every time we see one, we tend to run in fear. Oh, little snake, you know, no matter what size, you know. And we have a lot of snakes here in our garden. Just the other day I saw a beautiful, long, black garden snake. And to most people, they would see it and run for the hills. You know, oh, it's going to kill me, it's going to kill me. But I tend to see snakes very, very differently. A lot of my friends have had pet snakes, and I've always enjoyed them. I think some people, when they hold a snake, they tend to feel sort of weird and grossed out, because you can sometimes feel as they crawl on your arm and so forth. But snakes for me have always been very, very spiritual. And I've always seen them as not snakes, but again, symbols of wisdom and protection. A lot of it also has to do with a lot of the mythology that we find in Buddhism with regards to snake. You know, like as Shirlene Soyo Sensei was saying, in some traditions, a snake represents evil and darkness and, you know, bad qualities. Whereas in other traditions, the snake is seen as a sign, again, of wisdom. And if we look at the symbol for medicine, or the medical symbol, it has a serpent on it. You know, when we see the serpent that eats its own tail, you know, the sign of continuation. So the snake has a lot of really good qualities that we can use on our path. And as, you know, Shirlene Soyo was mentioning, snake is flexible. You know, So if we have that sort of flexible snake mind, you can always get around things or work with things and not be startled. We're able to be flexible with our thoughts, with our actions, which allows us to, not suffer as much, because we're able to have that flexibility. But also one of the important things about snakes is one of the founders, or considered to be one of the founding fathers of Mahayana Buddhism, was a philosopher by the name of Nagarjuna. Now, his name derives from the word snake, essentially. Naga, or was essentially meant snake, some sort of divine beings or higher beings that were snakes. And it was said that Nagarjuna taught the Nagas, these serpents, and gave them the great Mahayana teachings on middle way, emptiness, and so forth. And the story essentially tells us that the snakes protected the Dharma and kept the Dharma within their watery realms until it was time for humanity to receive these great teachings. And the Nagas then, gave the teachings to various sentient beings who continued to spread the teachings of Mahayana. And I've always liked that story. You can look up an image of Nagarjuna. You'll notice all these snakes around him, or And to me also, it's a very personal symbol. In the Thai astrology, my birth sign is the Buddha sitting with the Naga protecting him. And if you want to sort of check out this scene, you can watch Little Buddha. And in that movie with Keanu Reeves playing Siddhartha, you'll see the scene where the five ascetics are sitting with Siddhartha, and it starts to rain. And this giant cobra comes and protects him. So to me, snakes are a very personal symbol of wisdom and protection. If you visit temples, I know in our local Thai temple here in the area, they have these two beautiful giant Nagas in front of the temple. And, again, to an outsider, they would say, well, why would you put something like that? They have these big mouths and tongue, and they look sort of menacing. And I remember the abbot was saying at one time, that was their purpose. They protected the temple from evil, essentially, from evil coming into the temple. So the Nagas have a very long history in Buddhism as protectors of the Dharma. And, again, for me, the snake also represents that things are not always what we think they are. Again, when we look at a snake, the first reaction most people have is run. It's going to kill you. It's going to poison you. But in reality, most snakes are harmless. And if you look at the rattlesnake, which I've been fortunate to hear and see at Bright Dawn and Coors Gold, I always think that the rattlesnake is the most kind and polite snake, because at least it warns you. It's sort of like, if you're getting too close to me, I'm going to start rattling. So it gives us that little, caution. Don't get near me because I'll strike. So I think that's really kind of them to give a warning, hey, step back. Almost gives me the idea of having a rattle in our minds, reminding us, hey, chill out, take that deep breath, or you're going to strike. So that might be something you can use now, having the sound of a rattle in your head as a warning, hey, you got to calm your mind or you're going to strike out and possibly do something negative. So again, I receive a lot of teachings from snakes because there was a story, and this story has been said many, many, many times before. In one version, it was a monk going through the forest, and he really couldn't see very well on his path. And as he was walking, he came to what appeared to be this really evil and dark, menacing snake. And so the monk was very, very, very scared, and he took his walking stick and immediately started to bang on the snake, because he was frightened he was going to get bitten, and he just kept beating at it. And suddenly, as the wind started to rustle, more light came onto his path, and he realized, wait a second, this isn't a snake, it's a piece of rope. And he realized right there that when the light sort of gave him that clear view of what was really in front of him, it wasn't a snake at all. It was only a rope, a piece of rope. And I think for me, that has a very powerful message of, the light of wisdom, the light of this knowledge, allowing us to see things as they are, not through our eyes of fear or calculation, but see through what is really in front of us. So I really like this story, and this story has been told in different ways and different versions, but I always like the point of it is that, you know, in the darkness of ignorance, we see things and make things up to be things that they're not. But when the light of wisdom shines through, we see what things really are. And I remember the story at the end, you know, the monk was just laughing, and he had a great realization right there that sometimes we hold these ideas and concepts in our mind, but until we have that light come through on our path to show us what things really are, we'll always have that fear. And so I've always liked that story. It reminds me to, you know, don't take things at face value. You know, it's like they say, don't judge a book by its cover. First, let that light of wisdom shine through and see things for what they truly and really are. So very happy that Shirley and Soyo Sensei brought up the teaching of the snake, because, like I said, I think sometimes snakes, they tend to get a bum rap, but they're actually very gentle creatures. Well, at the temple, I remember we used to have different kinds of snakes. We had water snake, water moccasins. We had garden snakes. And I remember we all used to play. The monks would come together and it was, you know, playing with snakes. And the majority of people would warn us, don't do that. Don't do that. They'll kill you. They'll bite you. And we never had an incident. So, again, it always goes back to the mind. I think if you have that mind of peace and serenity, creatures don't really strike out unless they have to. You know, it's not like they choose to say, I think I'm going to bite this guy. He looks like he deserves a good snake bite. No, they don't do that. They're, you know, they look at the situation and they react based on that. So if you have that kind of peace and serenity, you know, within yourself, it sort of resonates out, and these creatures don't attack you, but they sense that, and it's been proven scientifically that many animals can sense that fear or that peace that you carry. So again, it reminds us, you know, when I look at the snake, it reminds me to, you know, always have that sense of calm and serenity, and I'm less likely to be bitten by a snake. Or if we look at this from the point of view of humans, if I have that peace and serenity in my heart, in my mind, when I approach other people, my calmness sort of resonates out, and they'll have a sense of, okay, well, I don't have to necessarily strike this guy, you know, or fight with this guy. I can work this out. So, again, snake, very, very powerful meditation tool, you know, a great Dharma teacher. So I'm very glad that we discussed it, because I've always said snakes are sometimes given that bum rap. Oh, they're not nice. They bite out, but you know, they're very very great teachers. Teaches about flexibility. You know, snake also, if you notice, snakes can fit in any place. You know, they can go in a rock, they can be in a garden. You know, they really adapt. They're very adaptable to their environments, and I've always sensed that to be a great teaching as well. You know, they don't sort of pick and choose. Oh, I like this garden. Oh, I like this better. You know, they're able to be one with that environment and allow that environment to be a part of them. They're in oneness with their environment. So again, that's a great teaching. Everywhere you go, be like the snake and adapt yourself to that environment. You know, I've seen them fit in rocks and holes, and they're as comfortable as can be, because again, they adapt themselves to that circumstance and situation. So, well, that is all for today. Again, I want to thank our guest, Shirley Soyo Sensei, for joining us today. And as she said, we wish everybody a very happy New Year of the Snake. And this week, may you have a beautiful and flexible snake day. Until next time, bye-bye.